The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. It was a cooler weekend. It's warming back up now, though, but it wasn't a cool weekend. Another hot weekend for Auburn baseball, especially Saturday. My goodness. After being rained out Friday, a doubleheader Saturday, and, if there were any questions about would Auburn's bats stay warm, my goodness. An 18-5 run rule win in game one of the doubleheader, and then they jump out and hold on to sweep the doubleheader on Saturday as Brian Matthews joining us. Yep, tough loss yesterday, but, I mean, they were being no-hit and down 4-0, and they got the winning run to second base in the ninth inning with one out, and a big double play by A&M salvaged a game for the Aggies.
Didn't you just write something about how the Sunday pitcher had done a great job waking the bats up?
Yeah, there you go, Brian. Way to jinx it.
That's true. I did write that.
Yeah, you did. I forgot about that.
I forgot about it.
Petro goes, where are all those runs now?
That run support, yeah.
Yeah, but still, a big weekend. Brian Matthews, MarlboroSports.com, joining Bill and Dan here as we're just underway on the Monday drive. But another fun weekend. Auburn's now, it was the two hottest teams in the league. Auburn is the hottest team in the league. They've won five straight series now.
Really, really impressive. Quality pitching throughout for Auburn. I thought the combination Jake Marciano and Jackson Sanders Saturday was so important, because that Texas A&M lineup is so powerful and potent, especially at the top. And they did a great job. I mean, holding them to five runs and four runs. That's just excellent pitching up and down for Auburn.
No kidding. I mean, 13 runs. I mean, A&M was averaging around 8 or 9 runs a game, and Auburn held them to 13 over the three games. Meanwhile, the bats continue, including the power.
Yeah.
Chase Frehlich was the guy.
Five straight
homered in five straight games until yesterday. Hit 6 homers in those 5 games. Yep.
How about the Dinger Man, right? How about Ethan? I mean, the freshman season he's having. And there were folks, I think before the season started, right? It was like kind of a novelty, like, where's he going to play? Is he going to pitch?
Right.
It's like, no, he's going to be a corner infield bat that swings as significant a power bat as any freshman in the conference this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He may be SEC Freshman of the Year. He's been good, and he's gotten better as the season's gone on. He's gotten better in SEC play. You can just see growth.
I mean, right now, I mean, he's really hitting the ball with more authority right now than he had all year long. Yeah. So that was fun. No question about that. Auburn still a tough challenge. I mean, it's not like it's all done. Even though right now, there's no question that at the moment, Auburn would be a national top 8 seed.
Yeah, and 14 wins pretty much guarantees them in the postseason no matter what happens.
I think 14 wins with the schedule they have probably gets them a regional host.
Yep. I checked last night, and Auburn was number 4 RPI in the country, number 1 strength of schedule. So that's big. Most people now have them in the top
6-ish
national seed. But then again, they have to go to Mississippi State, who's also battling for the same things
that's
Auburn is.
That's exactly right.
They're both tied for 4th in the SEC.
And then they get home to play the number 1 team in the SEC, Georgia, a team that is getting close to clinching the SEC regular season title.
Yeah. Winning at College Station, though, beating this Texas A&M team in a road series is so impressive. I listened to some of game one once it started to get out of hand. I flipped over and thought I'd tune in to hear what Texas A&M's radio team
was
talking about. And it was, it was impressive to me that, like, and they said it early on in the game, like, this is an Auburn team that has everything you need. Like, looking at it as an outsider, as a rival, as the team, facing them this weekend, it was like, this Auburn team, sometimes the bats can get quiet.
Yeah, but any team. But, I mean, Auburn's got power up and down. They've got depth in starting, depth in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Play solid defense. Yep. I mean,
yeah, great corner defense, great outfield defense. I think middle infield probably, you know, can get better or get more consistent. But I just think overall.
Multiple starting pitchers that you feel like can go and shut down a quality lineup, which is something I think A&M, like their Friday starter, the guy who started the first game on Saturday, sounds like his outings have gotten worse and worse as conference play goes on. That's a terrible feeling, right? When you feel like your starting pitchers are starting to slide as the season goes on. Auburn doesn't have that. And it's like, not only do you not have that, but now the bats are getting better as the year goes on. And it's a dangerous mix for anybody who has to see Auburn between now and the end of the season.
They can beat you in a lot of different ways, and they can run the bases too when they need to.
Right.
I mean, I would like to see them be better small ball stuff just to mix it up a little bit more, be more consistent bunting certain players, you know, that have that opportunity and can thrive that, need to be a little bit better. There's things they can improve on, but this team is really playing good baseball right now, and they are built to be a really good postseason team, I think.
334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Uncle Ollie is in early today. What's up, Unc?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Always glad to talk to you.
Good to hear from you.
So I was looking at RPIs yesterday, and I just thought it was odd and might have changed since yesterday, but Georgia's RPI is like 19.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, I've noticed that too.
Which is nuts. I mean, I guess they're midweek games, or I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know how to calculate RPI, but I just thought here's probably second best team or arguably the best team in the conference with an RPI of 19.
Yep.
They have had their schedule, when you look at it, I mean, it's good.
And I think they play most of the bad teams.
They have drawn almost all the teams at the bottom of the league this year. Now, usually, I mean, you look down there and when you see LSU, South Carolina, Vandy, Tennessee,
you
figure that's a pretty competitive schedule. But those teams are 12, 13, 14, and 15 in the league this year.
Right now, Georgia's 16th RBI in Ward-Nolan, and they have the 43rd strength of schedule. So it is that strength of schedule which is holding them back. Whereas you look at Auburn, 4th RPI, number 1 strength of schedule in the country. Alabama is 5th RPI because they have the number 3 schedule in the country. So that strength of schedule is a really big component of RPI.
Yeah. So a couple of statistics that I saw today. The first time all year, Texas A&M has been held to 5 or less runs in SEC play in a series.
Yeah.
And Auburn did it. Yeah, that's right. Auburn did it all 3 games. Yep. That is very impressive. That is a very impressive lineup. I think that just shows you how good the Auburn pitching was, even though it didn't look spectacular this weekend. That's at a place, Bluebell Park is a really tough place to go in, especially and try to hold it down.
And Petrovic was incredible, and he just gave up one swing, right?
Yep.
That 3-run homer to one of the best hitters in the SEC. That happens.
And then the other one was the in this 5 SEC series wins that we've had, Auburn has averaged 2 home runs a game.
Yeah, they're getting it going. I mean, I can remember early on.
Almost midway through conference, people were wondering, where's the power?
Where are they going to hit another home run? It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
I was like, What is Gabe teaching these guys? Come on, swing the bat. And now here I am eating crow because Lord knows they are. And here's the great thing about the way things work in baseball. We've got a lot of these guys another year.
Mm-hmm.
You take, for instance, Frelick. Unless he goes somewhere, which I don't see him ever doing that, Major League Baseball can't get him for another year.
Right.
So, if we keep these guys, Butch has done one hell of a job of homegrown talent and building something here.
Oh, you're right about that, Uncle Ollie. And, something else to think about, this NCAA 5-for-5 rule is going to allow players, if they don't feel like they're going high enough, to play a 5th year. So,
And that's the great thing about NIL. It's one of the few things great about the NIL. But now you can, you know, guys can make more money staying for that fifth year.
Oh, it's bringing more talent to college sports, right?
No question.
Football players are staying longer if they're not going to be a first or second round pick. Basketball players the same. Baseball players, more are coming, right? Because they can get more money if they're not a first round pick.
I mean, just think. There's some guys that wouldn't project as high draft picks that might have to go single A, and where would you be better off? Would you be better off staying in school and
exactly.
and having all the amenities there, or going and riding buses on the back
right.
roads in single
I
A?
I mean, it's like a 10 out of 10 choice to me, right? If I was telling my son or somebody else, look, you get paid, you get better facilities, a better living, and you get to experience college life with a bunch of other people your
That's
age.
Right.
Does Auburn have guys, you know, these last couple of years? I remember we talked about this with Ike a little bit, where it was like, these are guys that probably would have picked the pros a couple of years.
Yes.
Like not all that long ago.
Yeah, Chris Rembert.
Yeah.
Chris Rembert's a guy that you know, 5 years ago, 5 years ago would have been drafted and signed, wouldn't have gone to college.
Of course, Ethan Bingham, another one, right, that Auburn probably does not get 5 years or 7 years ago.
Last thing, and I'll get off. But so I talked to Ethan Bingaman's father in the Arkansas series, which is early on in the season. And I was asking him, how'd he end up at Auburn? And he told me, you know, it was Tiefert that got him here. And that in Major League Baseball wanted to be a pitcher.
Right.
But he wanted to come and prove that he could hit. Well, I'd say he's done a damn good job of proving that.
No kidding.
Yeah,
I want to see him pitch some though. If MLB thinks he can pitch, I would think
Tiefert said that Ethan and both McCranes can throw over 90 miles an hour.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
So
I would think they'd be in the upper 90s, probably.
Yeah. I'm not sure either one of those three, even though they can't pitch, I'm not sure either one is going to pitch. We'll see. Maybe Auburn feels like they need to.
Well, one of them did. Didn't one of the McCrane,
Mason
one
did.
Of McCrane brothers pitch early on?
Yeah.
Mason did.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a great day.
Good hearing from you, Uncle Ollie. All right, we're just underway here on the –
Bingaman threw an inning, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He sure did. And I didn't get a chance to see that one. I think that was that may have been a game that – that was pretty much out of hand, and I left, and then he got in there and pitched.
Do you get the sense that the pitching is finished for him because the bat's been so hot, or do you think that's something they could reevaluate, like maybe not this year?
Me,
but
I think
the road.
I he's going to be a high draft pick as a major league baseball.
I'd hide the pitching glove, right, Bill? Like it's like, all right, guess what, Ethan? You're a corner.
I would, but I mean, I'm
I guess it depends on.
Maybe. Maybe next year, a midweek game if he wants to, you know, just see how things go.
What's his position like as he like in a perfect world?
I think he can play corner infield or corner outfield.
Yeah, I thought he was. I was thinking he was more a second third baseman.
Yeah,
that's what he was.
And the fact that I mean, especially what this is.
And he's playing first, which I don't think that's his natural position by any means. But I mean, he's been pretty darn good there, man.
You have Guevara, right?
Over there.
And Guevara at third base.
Right.
You don't know.
Rembert is eligible for the draft. If he does go, that means I think Bingaman can probably move into the second base position or third, because Guevara will be eligible too, and allow Auburn, you know, to bring in maybe another slugger
at second base is crazy. Right, like if you can play Ethan Bingaman in somewhere like a spot where you can that affords you.
Well, that's
the
where
chance
you had Chris
get,
Rembert, who hit 350 with 10 bombs
exactly.
last year as a true freshman. Yeah. So I mean, it is quite the tribute to Butch Thompson and his staff that they've been able to bring in these kinds of guys. And I mean, not all of them were like top. Two or three round draft picks, but I mean the talent, the young talent that they brought in over the last few years has just been phenomenal.
It really has been, and they signed another great class that'll be here this summer, and they've got one of the guys is definitely a first rounder, but I'm not convinced that he's going major league. We'll see.
Right. All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon just underway. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive, with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Were you shocked last time?
Welcome back into the drive. 20 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, I haven't seen anything lately. What's going on? What's going on with basketball? Anything you've heard about that that last spot Stephen Pearl's looking for?
Other than the kid from France International, I have not heard anything new as far as another target or going a different way.
Yeah, I hadn't heard any new names, so I assumed it's sort of still the same thing. Yeah. We were talking toward the end of the week and had a couple of questions, and yeah, I think the intriguing thing is, look, the apparent approval, the imminent approval of this NCAA's 5-for-5 rule, which also includes age limits, is something that could really be impact, could be very impactful as far as Auburn's pursuit of Montez Roops Divisius.
Yeah, I think so. So,
because he turns 24 Wednesday.
Wow. Okay.
And the NCAA's new rule, which is you get 5 years from the time you either graduate high school or you turn 19, which means when you turn 24, you would be out of eligibility. But what we were wondering about, Dan and I were talking about this the other day, I would think that if you're in school,
right, they're not going to kick you out.
When the rule comes into effect, that you'd be okay.
Right.
But it looks like that rule is going to go into a place June 1st. I don't know that Matt is going to be in school by June 1st.
And he could be the kind of player that gets squeezed in between the margins of something like this, just because of when he turns 24 and the thought of the thought of getting him enrolled before June 1st could be, or it could be like the first legal challenge to this new NCAA 5-for-5 rule and the age limit aspect of it. We saw that the Arizona wing that Auburn had been linked to chose Oregon late last week, so he's off the board. So I have to imagine Auburn has other ideas if Montas.
I'm sure Stephen Pearl and company, Brian Cloman, the staff, sure they have other players there. We just I don't think they've been pushed because they're still going through every channel possible, I would think, to see if they can get Montas in.
Yep. And I think I saw Cade Magwood at Murray State, so
Find
his home, which I think is a good move for him.
Yeah.
Get a chance to
get a lot of minutes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what he needs.
Yeah, well, good for him. So but other than that, this team really has been put together, I think, pretty well by Stephen and his staff.
I do too. It's completely different. You can tell this is the style of team he wants. He wants to coach. It's got a lot of length, and he mentioned when we talked to him about how that length is going to help them be more aggressive on the perimeter and defending those three-pointers, which gave them so much trouble last year, that three-point defense. So I think that all kind of adds together. And, of course, getting a wing with some length to them and some athleticism would help that too.
Yeah. Well, they have one in Adam Olsen who is a 6'8 shooter.
Yep.
We'd love to be able to get another one who's a better ball handler and shooter to run that other wing.
Retaining Tahad and Kevin Overton was huge for a couple of reasons, and I think one of them is that you look at what else is happening around the league. The SEC is going to be better than it was this past year. Mm-hmm. Florida, I think, will be a consensus number one going into next season with the way they've retained so much of the front court from this past year. Florida's bringing back a lot of their production from a team that was the reigning national champion and a one seed this past year in the NCAA tournament. A lot of folks like Arkansas as a top 10 team in the preseason with what Calipari's done, not just in the recruiting trail. I think they're number one in a lot of recruiting rankings. He's also retaining several of his players from this past year. That was a team that was pretty good. He went and got Jeremiah Wilkinson, too, 17 points per game at Georgia this past year. Texas looks loaded, right? Like, Texas has done very well for themselves in the portal. Isaiah Johnson is a cool story of, like, he was a guard in the greater L.A. area. Was a pretty good player, but not wasn't blowing people away on the recruiting rankings or anything like that. He goes to Colorado, wins a job as a true freshman, and he's 20 points a game, like all season long for Colorado. He's Big 12 Freshman of the Year, maybe DeBonsa won Big 12 Freshman of the Year. He's one of the best freshmen in the Big 12, but he's going to Texas. They held on to Vokatitis. They went and got David Punch from TCU. They went and got Elijah Freeman from Auburn. Like Texas has a good looking team. I've seen Alabama pretty highly ranked in some preseason polls. The thought that even though Filon's not coming back, Amari Allen and Aiden Holloway is a pretty good backcourt to try to build around, and they went and got they went and got the Boise State guy that folks think is a pretty good mid-major front court piece as well. So I mean, that's just Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Like they're like, mm-hmm. this is going to be more like the SEC of 2 years ago, where it's like there are multiple like second weekend teams all over the league, and that's before you get to Auburn. So it's like it was, and I think yeah, Auburn, and you, I think Auburn can hang.
Well, I think with Auburn, Brian. I mean, for Auburn, it's if a couple of the guys that Stephen Pearl's bringing in are healthy. Yeah. If Owen Freeman mm-hmm. is healthy, then he's as good or better than a lot of these players that are really getting a lot of notice that have signed with schools. He was a guy, I mean, because he was a Big 12 Freshman of the Year, Big 10 Freshman of the Year, and then averaged 17 a game as a sophomore. Yep. If he's able to get back to that form, that is a literally and figuratively yes. huge yeah. addition at 6'10". And then the guard from Vandy,
George Kimball,
another guy that, I mean, he should be healthy. He's been mm-hmm. practicing with Vandy since January, but he's a guy that has been really good offensively and defensively. I mean, so those are a couple of guys that last year's numbers, when you look at them, and that's what a lot of the rankings are based on. They're gonna be based on, well, what did this guy do last year? Well, how do we project that? Auburn's hoping it's nothing like Owen Freeman from last year, yeah. or that they're going to get something from Kimball, which I think they should.
Yeah, I think every player Auburn signed out of the portal is a guy that's coming off an injury or a guy that's moving up a level. I think all of them have something to prove.
Chip on their shoulder.
Yes, and I love that. And I think that's a great way to go. I think that fits Stephen Pearl's style.
Well, I think that's what Bruce used to yeah. like, to get those kind of guys that really had something to prove when yeah. they got out there and just seemed to make them play a little harder.
And, you know, talking more about the team and the potential, you know, we don't know how good these seven-footers are going to be, right?
Right.
I mean, they could – one of them or both of them could be really good, solid, you know, need some seasoning, who knows. But, you know, and then – but you've got Todd back.
You can't coach a 6'6" guy to be 7 feet, though.
Right, exactly. And, you know – who's the kid? Dowd? Is he the one from?
Yeah, he's the one from Troy.
Troy, double-double machine. So you're getting another 6'8 guy that can rebound and is physical and can do some other things offensively. So I think it's a great mix. I'm excited to see this team come together.
Yeah, no question about it. So and it's we know it's not done. There are a lot of schools. How many players does LSU have right now?
I think it's just one still, yeah. which is wild.
My sister's visiting and she lived in Baton Rouge for quite a while And she was wondering. It's like she said she was reading something where people were complaining. She goes, "Why did they bring him back?" I said, "Well, they loved him for the yeah. guys that he got." She goes, "Yeah, but he paid them." I said, "Well, now you can pay them
yep.
legally."
That's right.
She goes, "But they don't have any."
Well, now everybody like, well, else no. can, now everybody else can pay them legally.
And they have
too.
One player. Yeah. I mean, I really don't know exactly what's going on there at LSU. I mean, there's still plenty of players out there.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know how comfortable I'd be right now. I've only had one player on my roster. It's May,
yeah,
May 4th.
Yeah, you're just over a month away from starting practicing.
Yeah,
and stuff.
No yeah. kidding. All right, 334-321-1390.
Well, Kentucky has like four or five players. I
yeah.
know it's a small number. There's a couple places where there's – I mean, it's different with Wade, I suppose, because he just got the job
mm-hmm.
and he's building his first team. There's frustration around the league at a couple different places with and I mean let's not say Stephen's first year was smooth sailing for 4 or 5 months, but there are some folks that have looked at what their team has done since the season ended,
right?
And they're saying we're concerned about the direction this is headed. Mark Pope has had a rough couple of weeks there.
It's not been the best of times, the easiest of times yeah. for Mark Pope.
You just want
alum.
I mean, I like the JMU guy that they got, but again, this is Kentucky, right? Like you would think mm-hmm. that in this era,
bigger names would be headed yeah. to Wildcat country.
He's not a very popular figure right now, I don't think.
No, I think you're right about that, Brian. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. So we're a quarter of the way in. It's Monday. B-Matt here, so that means his Monday musings coming up next hour. In the meantime, we're wide open. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews here on a, man, a gorgeous day today.
Yes, love it. And there's still no 90s on my phone. They're not showing up yet.
Well, that's good. Like that. That's good. We had
unless
40s.
You get into the music. Yeah. You get into the music, there's a lot of 90s.
No, you're right.
Not this week.
Oh, okay. Ah, little tease there from Brian. And it won't be 90s music. Going to make it tougher. Try to make it tougher for Dan.
Oh, no, yes. Some cool nights lately, though, too, right? I mean, this past weekend, it felt like it was dipping into an
80s song.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds like a Paul Davis.
Sounds like a cigarette brand.
Cool night.
Sounds like a brand. Yeah,
that's Paul Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's the past couple of
70s.
As you mentioned, it's getting warmer. But like, I mean, for
I liked it
for the first.
But, I mean, it dipped into the 40s for a few nights, and highs didn't even hit 70.
First weekend of May.
Yeah,
right. And you're talking about it was downright chilly the last couple of nights. We'll see if that continues. But and quite a bit of rain on Friday.
We had a good bit of rain. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking because we
were asked what the Bill Cameron
we went over to Atlanta on Saturday night.
That's right, he did
to see Bruce Springsteen.
All right,
and I was thinking, it was inside, but I normally this time of year I'd be wearing shorts, and it's like no. It was chilly outside. We got stuck. Something, there was some kind of wreck just on 85 just before you hit Peachtree City.
Okay.
And
it was on the way there?
No, on the way back.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, on the way back.
Okay.
No, I mean, we got there fine. It was fine. He played for 3 hours. I mean, he's a
machine, right?
He never stops.
Yeah.
I mean, the band took a break while he just sang and played guitar. But, I mean, so he started at around 6:40 our time, 7:40 Eastern, played for 3 solid hours. And we get out and are back on MARTA at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, 10 o'clock our time. I'm thinking, good, we're going to be home around midnight. And we're cruising along, get on 85, got just before we hit Peachtree City, looked, and as we topped a little hill, you could see traffic just stopped.
Man.
And it was stopped so much that even the shoulder on the right side, people started trying to go down the shoulder, it got stopped.
Wow. Is it still 8 lane there, or is it down to 4 lane?
It's 8. It's 8. And so there was a 5th lane, which was the shoulder,
right,
and it was stopped.
Wow.
And we sat there for 1 hour and 5 minutes, did not move.
That's a mess.
It was.
Did you find out what it was?
No, by the time we got there, no, I sure as hell wasn't going to stop and find out what it was by the time.
Right.
No, they had it cleared because we were so far back.
Okay.
That once they finally cleared it, there wasn't anything still left by the time we got to the top.
Because that's
a 2 or 3 lane exit, you know.
When you've got somewhere to be, like driving to Atlanta, or you're on a time crunch, it is chilling to see that traffic jam.
Yep.
You know those traffic jam signifiers. So yeah, but Springsteen was worth the trip
again. Yeah, again, he is a hard working he's a hard working guy.
The new James Brown, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he is probably the hardest working guy in showbiz now. But no, it was really good. First time we'd seen him. So that was good. So.
And he's been, I mean, for decades, his live shows have been renowned as one of the must-sees out there. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it was not shorts weather in Atlanta. It was not hot Atlanta on Saturday night, I can tell you that.
It'll
Is there anywhere
there.
In the world we can move and have this weather every day?
Well, I don't know, but I love it. I mean, today is a little bit warmer. It's going to maybe touch 80 or something today. The only thing is, my pool's still really cool.
It's right, like, it hadn't warmed up, yeah.
I mean, it warmed up a little bit. It's better. I mean, I got some trees taken out, so I'm getting more sun on it. But
the
I mean,
one downside of it hasn't been as sweltering as it usually is
right.
in April and May is the Bill's
so that I'm not about to have heat stroke and just you know dive into the pool and you hear the sizzle when I hit it. But no, it's been great. You're right. This has probably been as comfortable a spring as we've had.
I can remember. Yeah.
I mean, it's been really nice. We needed the rain. We really needed the rain. We got some of that. So yeah. I mean, so you're not seeing any warm temps in the near future.
According to the iPhone app, let's see.
Let's go to Brian with the weather.
The highs are 70s, low 80s, and even a 60.
Wow.
Mostly 70s.
And here's what's going on in your neck of the woods. Like, hey. No, but that's, you know what, for folks who have lived through some, I mean, how about this, graduation weekends
yeah.
in the past
that
have been.
I thought about that.
That have been oppressively.
Just, terrible.
Yeah.
Why they had to move them
yeah.
into the arena because
yeah.
oh, it was just and, oppressive in the stadium.
And this one, the thought that it's like, oh, it was too cold to wear shorts. Like that's the big, concern. Like that's
yeah.
it. A change of pace, and again, congratulations to everyone who joined the ranks of not just Auburn University graduates, but college graduates over the weekend. A lot of graduation ceremonies happening around the country.
Yeah.
Still seem to be quite a few students in town, at least hanging around here the first few days. I noticed you know, bunch of kids out walking and jogging and stuff this morning.
Yeah. So. One of our cousins graduated, so that was exciting. Had all the family down over the weekend. So, yeah, another group is done. Another group's coming in here in a few more months.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
All right, we will talk sports. I mean, just we had just a few minutes there. So there's not a ton of breaking news. There was something we needed to I heard Jacob and Christian talking about and saw that just before we came on the air, is that the SEC tournament, look, it's going to be interesting anyway because there's so many quality teams that are really battling for postseason either bids or hosting possibilities. SEC tournament's going to have the ABS, challenge.
Three per game, and if you get a challenge correct, you get
a bonus. That's right. And again, like Major League Baseball, the pitcher, the catcher, and the batter are the only three players, the only three participants that can challenge.
So this
tap the helmet.
This is exactly how Major League Baseball does it. Okay,
that's
good. That's great. And every single program in the SEC in the country all thinks they get the wrong end of the stick on these calls. So now it gives them a chance.
That's right. At least, three times a game it does. All right, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
Jeff is on the phone.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Been
good.
A minute. You guys doing all right today?
Doing just fine.
Good. The baseball team, man, wow. Playing great ball. I did something that I rarely do. I sat and couldn't leave the doubleheader on Saturday. And I had things to do, but I could not pull myself away and not watch that game. What a gut check game, especially game two. Great pitching. I was really concerned going into A&M with those bats and being able to go into that ballpark and contain their offense. You know what? This is a very, very energetic team playing right now.
They are playing good ball. They're handling their approaches really well offensively. The middle away and when they can get one inside, they can turn on it really well. I think the leadership in this team has stepped up. Right, guys like Eric Guevara, I think, have really stepped forward. And then the pitching staff's been great all year and has not really shown any kind of let off at all. I think those guys are still pretty strong. And the depth there is really going to help them, I think, going into postseason, going into the last three, last two regular season series. I think Auburn's got a great chance to win one or two or both of these series. And, you know, we'll see. I know Georgia is it three games or four games ahead?
Yeah, Georgia's got a three-game lead.
And who do they play this weekend? Do you know?
Ooh, I don't remember who they play. They play somebody pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Auburn's completely out of it. But I think they probably have to go 6-0 or 5-1.
Georgia. Auburn's four games back, and Georgia was six to play, and that's tough.
Yeah, they would probably have. Then they probably have to sweep Georgia at home, which is probably going to be hard to do. But we'll see.
Right, 2 weekends.
Yep.
I'm assuming if we split, that word split, we're looking at somewhere around a top four, top five seed, aren't we?
Top six, I would think, for sure, if they split. That would give them 17 conference wins with the RPI and strength of schedule they have.
Almost exactly from last year, and last year they were the number six. I can't remember. We looked it up. We talked about it last week. I can't remember. They were top six national seed last year, right?
Maybe. I believe they were fourth.
Yeah, it was fourth. Yeah, that's what it was. Four. So very, very similar situation.
This is a much better team at this point. Much better team at this point. I know a lot can change, but
with the RPI
and with their strength of schedule, I don't see, unless they fall flat on their face in these next couple of weeks, which I don't see with the pitching. Even if we're not hitting, I think we're going to get very good pitching. So I just look for consistency these last 2 weeks. If we could just hold it together.
Well, that's hard to imagine. I mean, the way this team's playing, I would expect that. I mean, now don't discount the midweek games either. Yep. UAB this tomorrow night, then Jack State. Those are challenges too. Brian, any idea? I did not get a chance to hear the post game after Sunday's game. What Butch's plans are since we're playing a Thursday,
right?
Thursday night, as to who's going to start.
Yeah, I did not hear. I don't think he said a definitive starter, but my guess is going to be Griffin Graves, and we'll see some Christian Chatterton.
I wonder if
it'd
be Griffin Graves and Bolt, sort of a bullpen type game there Thursday, because I know Butch doesn't like to push guys up and give them less rest.
Right, and you got back to back Thursday, Friday, Saturday series.
Yeah, because
up.
The next one is the final weekend is always Thursday, Friday, Saturday for everybody.
And you had two pitchers go Saturday, so it's basically seven games in eight days?
Yeah. Yes.
So you got to be really careful with those guys.
Oh, yeah. And one last question, guys. I know it's kind of a flip. The track and field team, normally we've had a pretty good team. Any word on them, what they're doing? I know last year we had a great showing in the NCAA tournament, NCAA meet.
Great sprinters. This team has great sprinters.
It is Griffin Graves, by the way. Just got the email. So
okay, good.
Go.
Good. I hadn't checked my email here in the last couple of minutes, so. That's cool, but yeah, it's not the deepest team. It's funny, Auburn can at times score better in the NCAAs than they can in the SECs.
Yeah, they have done that before
because you get more points for higher finishes, and Auburn's got some guys that are as fast sprinters as there are in the world.
Wow, man, I'm very excited to see that. So it's shaping up to be a good spring. I'm glad we. Got a little War Eagle excitement. But anyway, guys, I appreciate it. Good talking to you. And we'll be in touch.
Good hearing from you, Jeff. And, hey, don't forget, I mean, women's tennis has advanced. They're going to be they're hosting. And then you've got golf, too. So, I mean, spring sports been pretty good.
Big
Brian.
Yes. Big shout-out to women's tennis for winning the taking care of business against Miami
Bryant
on
Miami.
Saturday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Advanced to beat Bryant pretty handily on Friday.
I think then, they blanked Miami
and
as
then,
well,
and then took care of business against Miami on Saturday. So they're in the round of 16.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. We're wide open, as you can tell, here on this Monday. Come on in and join us.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. All right, we were just talking during the break. Yeah. The Griffin Graves will be starting tomorrow against UAB. Thursday is one that's going to be interesting, all right, because Andres Alvarez threw a lot of pitches, struck out 11, career high, there in the opening game on Saturday. Jake Marciano went the first six on Saturday. Jackson Sanders came in and threw the last three. And yeah, Dan, that's an interesting question. I mean, maybe Jackson could come back.
Yeah, it's 5 days rest, which is – used to be the norm for the major leagues. I don't, you know, but they've been working on 7 days all season, basically most of the time.
But at least it's somebody that you didn't ask to go, you know, five plus innings or something like that to come back, because then if you did that, then you could have Dre back on Friday and Jake on Saturday,
yeah.
And then have Alex as a guy that sort of take Jackson's role for this week and then figure things out for the final weekend against Georgia.
It would make a lot of sense. It'd definitely make a lot of sense to do it that way.
So we will see. But yes, Auburn baseball 14-10 now in the conference. And Georgia with a 3-game lead. The Bulldogs have just been they've been really, really good all year long, and my stats, for some reason, I keep when you go to the SEC, there we go. It shows like old stats. Georgia's 18-8.
Yeah, Georgia's got LSU at home this weekend, so that could be a sweep for them.
Georgia 16-8. Goodness, that print's so small.
I know it's
terrible.
Or is it
18-6? They're 18-6. Yeah. There we go. God, that is tiny print.
I know.
If I expand the screen, A&M and Texas are now tied for second at 15-8. A&M has the tiebreaker because they won both games in that series. Then Auburn and Mississippi State are tied for fourth. So it's a battle,
big battle
with the top, because top four seeds get double byes.
That's right. We're going to have to play in the SEC tournament till Friday, if that's the case, and only have to play 3 games to win a championship.
So. Right.
Because it's all single elimination now, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three-game lead for Georgia on the next closest teams. Texas and Texas A&M both have 15 wins in SEC play. Auburn, Mississippi State right behind them with 14. As you said, with just 6 conference games left, Georgia 3 up with 6 to play, and if they were to win 3 this weekend against LSU,
they
would guarantee themselves at least a share.
Yeah, and LSU, of course, is a 9-15.
Yeah,
defending SEC champs are 9-15 this year. I mean, they're capable. They're talented. Yeah. That should be in Baton Rouge, right? No. That's in Athens?
Foley Field, yep.
Yeah.
It's also if Georgia were to win 3 this weekend, it would eliminate.
Georgia wins 3.
Clinched a share of the title. It would eliminate State and Auburn from conference title contention, because that would like Auburn. The most Auburn can win is 20. If Georgia got to 21 this weekend, that would.
Well, no, it wouldn't, because Texas and Texas A&M got a game postponed, so they'd need one more. Because that would give them a half. Because they get to 21, Texas A&M could theoretically finish 21-8, and Georgia 21-9 would be a half game back of them. So Georgia needs some help.
It would eliminate
Auburn and Mississippi State.
Auburn and State
would eliminate everyone but Texas and Texas A&M. If Georgia sweeps LSU.
I'll tell you what, if LSU could win some games this weekend at Foley Field, it would make the last weekend of the conference
potentially. It would also make LSU fans feel a little bit better. Yeah. Look, LSU can still make the tournament. I mean, there's no question about that.
9-15 LSU, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they're able to take a couple from Georgia and win their last series, I mean, if Georgia gets, LSU gets to 13, they're in, I think.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot. There's a lot on the line for LSU as well.
And imagine how interesting that last weekend of conference play could be if there's still some intrigue and some mystery.
Yeah, if Georgia were to lose a series.
Auburn wins a couple games this weekend, and Georgia were to lose a series.
Well, LSU is in some trouble, though. They're just 55 RPI. That's not good.
I know it's not. But there are 64 teams that are defending NCAA champs, and if they beat Georgia, their RPI will
certainly
jump.
Get a boost.
If they could get the conference win loss total closer to 14 or 15, right? Like if they could get to 14, 16.
I still think 13.
They've got 9. They're 9-15 right now.
Yeah.
So
yes,
they go 4-2, they can do is 15, right?
Yeah, the best they can do is 15-15.
Right.
You win 5 of your last 6 down the stretch, and it gives the committee something to think about.
Including beating the top team in the league.
Yeah.
In Athens.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, let's say that's going to be quite the task for LSU to go in and sweep Georgia in Athens. But I mean, it's crazy. It is SEC baseball. It's going to be a fun last couple of weeks.
It is, and I think Auburn. I'm excited to see what they can do against these two really quality opponents.
All right, we are halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Coming up in hour number 2, more of your phone calls and Brian's Monday musings. So stick with us for the second hour here of the Monday Drive.
This is The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Hoping everybody doing well on this Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. Love to talk with you. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Brian, did you have a chance to catch any of the coaches either last Tuesday or Wednesday in either Montgomery or Birmingham?
Yeah, I went to Montgomery and talked to Stephen Pearl and Coach Golish. So I thought both interviews went really well. And we've had a bunch of content up from that too.
Just give us some of the highlights that you were able to glean from those conversations.
You know, one thing I mentioned early in the first hour, and Stephen talked about it, was getting guys that was something to prove, right? Mm-hmm. And he talked about getting the size, how important that was, not only inside have rim protectors, but also helping the perimeter defense. Also, he talked about each one of the new additions. Really excited about all of them, you feel like, especially the guy coming from Troy in South Alabama. Those guys chance to move up and really test themselves here. Had some great things to say about the George Kimball, just how good of a defensive player he is.
And that's not discounting the fact that he averaged 19 a game at his two stops in college before he transferred to Vandy.
Yep, and he'll have a chance to come in here and compete with Tahad and KO at both those positions for playing time.
I think that's a perfect guy to come in because he is very comfortable at the point or the two. Yep. He can score. He's a very good ball handler, but as you said, really good defender. Among the national leaders in steals, I guess it was at Eastern Kentucky his second year?
Yes, it was. Alice Golish talked a lot about what's coming up, his exit meetings, how spring went, plan for summer. He was giving them a couple of weeks off and they'll come back, I guess, here in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to get back into summer workouts and kind of stuff.
And that brings up something. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, but I don't think there's any question that coaches are so much they can take a deep breath because they know who they have. They may not be. I'm sure every coach wishes they could add a piece here or a piece there at least. But one of the things I was reading some of the comments that Coach Golish said. I mean, being able to just really be straight with these guys. They don't have to worry about holding anything back and hurting anybody's feelings and having them jump into the portal if they don't like what they hear.
Right, which is big. I think he's very relieved there's not a spring portal. That doesn't mean there could be some movement, but there's not going to be a big, widespread hundreds and hundreds of kids jumping in and jumping out there. So I think that was important to him. And he talked about how one of the most important things for him is just as a team for this team to come together this summer. So I think they're going to do some stuff to just try to get them together as much as possible, bond and try to develop. He talks a lot about having true leaders, not just guys that do what you're asked to do, but do a little bit more and lead by example, not by example, but by holding the other players accountable.
I think having guys like Tahad and Overton back, when you have two guards that had the seasons they just had, right? Like being able to ask those players to, because last year it was kind of you had a brand new mix of
We're talking about Golish.
Okay. Sorry, I had to jump in here. Oh no,
but
no,
yes,
you know,
you're
no,
right
but,
on
but,
that too.
No, but it's no, but you know what? It's comparable because it's a similar situation like last year with basketball. Like you had a brand new mix.
Yeah, you had
everyone.
One returnee. Yeah.
With Golish, I was sort of trying to pivot that to football eventually, where it's like with Alex Golish, you have a bunch of rooms where it's brand new.
Yeah, well, it's a whole new staff. They're familiar. I mean, a lot of them are familiar with each other, but as far as with Auburn and bonding here.
Yes, and the thought of like you have a bunch of rooms that are like you're going to ask you. I mean, aside from Jeremiah Cobb, who's in that position that sort of the returning basketball players are in, like you have a bunch of guys that it's like you. I mean, you know who seems to be in line for playing time, but as far as leadership, like, is it going to be the veterans? Is it going to be the really talented young players that step up? And there are a bunch of rooms at Auburn where it's like you're figuring out how the leadership is going to, because it could be incoming transfer players. It could be players who stayed from last year's team. It's going to, I mean, a lot of it's going to be sorted out by like who's ready to contribute.
Right. I think it's going to be really interesting. I get the feeling that, I mean, yes, Alex Golish wants this team to be close, not just, you know, we've seen it way too many times in the past where the defensive guys are tight with the defensive guys and the offensive guys, but there's not a whole lot of crossover. This is going to be very interesting, and I'm sure that's why he talked about this, because you've got a lot of carryover from South Florida on offense,
right,
and you've got a carryover from Auburn more on defense. I mean, so you've got
– and they seem comfortable leaning on the
so
South –
So far, yeah. Yeah.
So far, they seem comfortable leaning on some of the South Florida guys to set the pace as starters. How many of them will remain in that position all season long? There's a lot of competition. You know,
there better be one. For sure, there better be one.
Well, I mean, and going in right now, I mean, beyond Byram, though, it still feels like – I mean, I guess I went through an exercise like this with Ferguson over the weekend. We were drafting teams, and it's like, you know, beyond Byram, you have South Florida guys that are presumptive starters, right, when you're talking about some of these receivers.
Right, Colbess, Coger, yeah,
Chaz Nimrod,
yeah.
Singleton.
Yep.
But you've also got young players ready to compete at a lot of these different position groups.
Yeah, you do. And it will be interesting to see what happens. And another thing to look at here is how much things have changed over the last, say, 5-7 years, because right now a lot of student-athletes take their courses online,
right?
So they're not going to classes necessarily and interacting there. You know, if you look at the new football building, this is changing, but there wasn't a built-in, you know, cafeteria or restaurant there. If they picked up food, they just picked it up and left, right? Now, the construction they were doing while we were going to spring practice is to make that a full kitchen and
more
meals there.
Like the wellness center for the football,
Right, which will be helpful. So, and you know, you don't have dorms like you used to. You have these big suites with single rooms, you know, and it's just not quite easy to build.
Are you lamenting? Do you think it needs to be harder on
No.
them? You want to bring back bunk beds?
No, but you don't build the bonds, right,
sure,
as much as you would normally when you're with a person for so many hours, living with them, sleeping.
I remember
close
like,
to them, you know, that kind of stuff.
20 years ago, when you had the sort of locker room arms races, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Alabama built the waterfall and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, and people were sort of questioning, well, what's the point? It's like, not only is it something you can, in an era where you can't legally compensate players, not only do you want all the creature comforts to be top of the line, and you want to be able to say you've got better ones than the other places you're recruiting against, but I think also there's the thought of like, if you can make an atmosphere where the team wants to stay together
right
as much as possible, it can have carryover effects as far as chemistry and making sure that you've got the best team possible on the field.
It's important for building your team. It's important for building up young men.
Sure.
You know, it's important. And I think Golish recognizes that, and he's taking some steps physically to do it and also talking to his team about it too.
Yeah, I really like sort of the approach of, and again, you know, we'll see what happens when it's live ammo there in the fall. But like so far, I really seem to like what Alex Golish is doing, as far as not only what the team looks like, but also sort of what he talks about prioritizing, what he emphasizes, what he takes the time to emphasize when he talks to us. You know, this is a guy who has a clear vision for what he wants this to be. And it's not there yet, but it's only been a couple of months, and it could be further along than we realize, depending on how the season goes.
I think Auburn hired a coach that's well-built for this era of college football. I think he gets it, understands it. Mm. And I also think you got a coach's coach who is very detail-oriented, very into being like a coach's coach, right? Mm. Coaching these players, developing them on and off the field, not just physically, but mentally. And all those things you want as a coach. I just think they got an Alex Golish. We'll see how successful he is, but I think.
I had a question today. Sorry about that. But I had a question today from Doug. And he said, you know, he was just commenting on how excited, how upbeat the Auburn folks that he knows are about this, and said, when was the last time that that there seemed to be this kind of buzz about a new head coach. And I said, well, look, one of the things that people are going to react to is the way Alex Golish handles himself, and he's not backing down from anything. I mean, his comments in Birmingham reminded me and a lot of people of Coach Dye's comments when he was asked how long it's going to take to beat Alabama.
Right.
I mean, and I think that's something Auburn folks really take to that. It's like they feel like, you know, we'll see. We've got to see on the field, but the initial actions of Alex Golish have people, positive because they feel like he's not backing away or hem-hawing about right. what he wants to do and what he expects to get done.
And I think a lot of Auburn fans understand this Iron Bowl period that they have during practice or whatever
right.
it's called, right? And playing that music during this period, right? And I think Alabama fans are bothered by it for whatever reason. You know, I don't know why, but it just takes them off for some reason. But I think Auburn fans understand that rivalry, how important it is, and how it's good that he is recognizing that right away and not backing down from it.
I mean, I wonder if coaches like Shula and Nick Saban emphasized the Iron Bowl a little bit more when it was a lengthy losing streak.
Right.
Yeah, you don't think? Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if maybe they used that to motivate their team a little bit, you know, in that period 20 years ago. I don't know. I'm old enough.
You're absolutely right about that. It does. I mean, and that's the thing.
Been 20 years. That's hard.
Fan bases when they're on top don't take kindly to the team that they've been handling pretty well, acting like they're going to do something about it.
Auburn's
record against Alabama and Georgia over the last 20 years is just embarrassing.
Atrocious. Yeah. It really is.
Some of the Golish attitude too, though. I think it's based on. Like, I think he thinks he's got a team that can hang and can compete this year. And
I think he does.
If he didn't.
And you know what? I mean, he has a better basis for thinking so than some of the other coaches that have come around.
Well, he also, I mean, but some of that's because, and Brian will tell you, like, he held on to a lot of key pieces from last year's defense, and last year's defense was pretty good and better than pretty good at times.
Oh, yes.
And then so much of the offense is built around guys that he thinks can play. It's not, I mean, just going back to, and I know it's a different situation, but like in the aftermath of Harsin and that first Freeze year, like sort of cobbling together an offense from what you had, right? And introducing it, and it felt like very much like it was like wait until
just wait till these guys you don't want to hear that right now.
Sure. And I don't think Auburn is and with a couple of
you're
really,
not hearing that right now.
And with a couple of really important seniors on the team, it's like there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Like this team, you know, they think it could be pretty good this year. They think that It's got the capabilities to, and it needs to be at least better.
Oh, it definitely needs to be better than it's been for the last few years. Brian, what is your feeling from Alex Golish as to the biggest concerns about this team?
I think it's still the offensive line, and he did mention that Stanton Rammel will be back here this summer for summer workouts. You know, 100% ready to go. So, I think he sees that as an important piece. I'm waiting to see, but. I think that's going to be a work in progress. I think I love what I saw on the defensive line in the spring when I saw him. I still have a lot of questions about the offensive line and a few other positions maybe, but that to me is the area that's got to be worked out. I just don't think there's a simple solution. It's just going out there and working hard and finding who's going to rise to the top and see if somebody can play tackle.
I would think that having a quarterback like Byron Brown is going to help this offensive line.
Right, and running the ball like he wants to run the ball is going to – put them in position where maybe they're not in third and 11 and third and 12 a lot, getting run by an SEC all-American defensive end, which there are lots of those out there.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Again, we'll have Brian's Monday musings sometime coming up this hour, probably not too long from now, so stick with us. But if you've got any thoughts, questions, comments, give us a call, 334-321-1390, here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Were you shocked last?
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back into the Monday Drive. We'll see. I see you hit the red button, and then I realize as I'm talking, I don't hear myself.
Right.
So
I was activating me and Brian.
Yeah. So you got why didn't you bring it back then?
Well, because you were talking to the microphone.
Well, yeah, but my mic wasn't on, so it didn't really matter. No, it's the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. All right, B-Matt. So what are your plans here in the summer? I mean, we've got media days in Tampa. Coming up, I mean, you guys got any plans before then? I mean, it's definitely coming up on a slower time of year once baseball and these spring sports that are still going are done.
I would say over the next couple of months, it's going to be baseball to the finish now. And, you know, recruiting is about to really, really heat up with official visits for Auburn starting at the end of May and running through first 3 weeks of June. So that'll be a lot of our coverage on the site. You know, as far as baseball goes, I'm going to the game in Birmingham against UAB tomorrow and then planning to go to Jacksonville State next Tuesday. And, of course, George will be here for the, you know, the final series of the regular season the following week. So we'll have all that, and you know, we'll see what else can pop up. I'm sure, though, I think there's at least one or two more opportunities to speak to the coaches and our administrators.
Should be, yeah.
I know there's a Lake Martin meeting at some point. I don't know the exact date, but you know, I'll be there for that, of course. And you know, we always find some content during the summer, no matter what.
Well, yeah, I was asking more about in off time, a little
We don't have anything planned at the moment. But yes, it would be nice to get away a little bit.
I mean, it should hopefully have an opportunity to get a little bit of a break before things really get cranked back up with media days. And I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't thought about it today when I was talking with Doug, and he was talking about he just can't wait to hear Alex Golish down in Tampa. I said, well, he'll be back in some familiar grounds for him.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Back to Tampa for Alex Golish. I'm sure he'll know where to go grab something to eat.
That's exactly what Doug said. Doug said, oh, ask him for some restaurant advice.
No, he was in Tampa. You know, that's something I know when he talked about Tampa during his time as South Florida coach. You know, he talked about the culture and how it was one of the great restaurant cities in America. And you know, there's you can do okay. That's going to be a fun trip in a couple of months.
So that'll be something to ask. You know, one of the last times you get a chance to see Coach Golish before media days.
Yeah,
get some tips.
Yep. There you go.
Some Tampa tips. Yep. Oh, all right. Let's let's go ahead and get Brian's Monday music.
Okay. Great. Let me pull it up here.
All right. First of all, athletically, what do we have on tap
about
this week?
Butch and the baseball team and how they have done a terrific job bouncing back through some adversity early in the SEC schedule there, and what a great job he's just done over 11 years in this season, and how this could be his best team.
I think it is. It potentially could be, but to this point, I think it's as good as any or better than any we've seen. Yeah. You know, as we head down the stretch.
Of course, they'll be judged by how they finish.
Sure.
But I think they've got that opportunity. So musically, we're going back 39 years. So it's 1987.
87. Well, it was nearly 90s.
Yep.
All right, 87.
I guess it's close. Now, this one was hard to kind of tease. It's hard to come up with something. So it's 39 years to the release of an album that included four of a neo-traditional country and gospel music artist.
All right. Well, at this time, all right, this is when I was working in Montgomery.
Okay.
I was over there with WLWI and doing little news things before I did the show in the afternoon. So yes, there was a lot of clamor back then about what is country music coming to.
Right.
It's becoming too pop. It's
so this
become,
guy brought
this
it back.
Guy. This guy. This guy.
Yep.
I got it.
And
got
it was four number ones on this
it.
On this album. Okay,
I got it.
What year?
It's Randy Travis.
Yep,
he's got it again. Yes. Yeah.
He's amazing.
He was because it was a return in a lot of folks' minds to classic country. I mean, this is probably
this is Always and Forever
and Ever Amen album?
That album, yes.
Okay. Is this the early 90s? Or is this
87?
87, okay. Yep.
Forever. Yep. Oh, what a great voice Randy Travis had. I mean,
Marshfield, North Carolina, father amateur musician, was kind of derelict as a young teenager. Got into some trouble stealing and drinking and driving, and I think he stole a car one time.
That's classic country. What are you talking
exactly.
about? An outlaw. That's right.
Now, I think a lot of people will remember his sort of signature song, On the Other Hand, which was, I think, on his first album. Then he re-released it, and it became such a big hit. Mm-hmm. He did switch to
gospel
around 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, around 2000. And then I guess it was 2013 that he suffered a stroke.
Yeah,
and that's kind of really taken away from
him. And really has,
So what, when people say it's a return to more classic country from what was popular in the first half of the 80s, what are they talking about? Like, what's the...
You know, I mean, you'd gotten into the... I mean, and I enjoyed a lot of it. Yeah. But, I mean, it was... You know, you'd gotten into... I'm thinking...
Well...
Sawyer Brown,
okay.
And I mean, stuff that was more pop sounding, more top 40-ish sounding than country.
Yeah,
Kenny Rogers, sort of.
Yeah,
I
mean, a lot of crossover. Okay. I mean, my goodness, Lionel Richie was big crossover in country as well. I mean, so it's like people were thinking that's not country, and then Randy sort of came along and had that as well. I loved. I mean, I'd say Digging Up Bones was not on that album.
No, it was not.
That was later. But I mean, that's some really, really good vocals that
yes.
Randy, I mean, Randy had such that
Deep
strong,
in the Holler
yeah.
was one you might remember. Hard Rock Bottom of Your Heart's a good one. Yeah, they had some good ones. They had some really good ones. But
his
that's
cover
Storm, that's Storms of Life, right?
His cover
digging up bones is
yeah,
on.
Yeah, his cover of Brooke Benton's "It's Just a Matter of Time" uh-huh. is one of my all time favorites.
Okay,
yeah, there's another one. Just
all right, I'll check that out.
I don't know.
Very deep baritone voice.
Yeah, really classic deep rich voice. Yep. Yeah, cool stuff. Again, so I mean, just here over the last few weeks, Brian has gone. We've gone from. Let's see. Last week it was hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, Brian goes in all directions.
There's no
telling. He could go back to classical music from the middle.
I'm looking for one. I'm trying to find one. I want to do that again. So
okay.
See if I can find one here. Soon.
All right. So Dan, be trying right. to help him
ready.
Out with some classical
something from 400 years ago.
Go back 435 years.
Your composer's probably born or died.
442 years ago this week.
Bill, I think you got this one.
God, oh man, but yeah, it's always fun, Brian. I mean, it's a fun thing that he does. I'm sure you have fun.
I do.
Researching and coming up with
and
this
learning
every week,
stuff
too.
about these artists that I've listened to all my life. So yeah, it's great.
All right, so we got a couple of minutes here till the bottom of the hour. Again, wide open. Anything that you want to talk about sports-wise? Is there anything we haven't really touched on? I mean, did everybody get a chance to? I didn't get a chance to watch the Derby.
Oh man,
Saturday.
Oh, what
a
race!
We were on the way.
Golden tempo,
okay.
Amazing. I mean, if you have not seen the race, Golden Tempo is about halfway through this thing. It's in last place.
Wow.
Like this thing is at the back of the pack and makes an incredible run.
And that I am sure is one of those are some of the most impressive announcing, the play calling, play-by-play. When you have a race like that where they're having to give, was it still 19 horses that were in the race, I think? Something like that.
It was 18 or 9 because they had some scratches.
That's right, there were some late scratches. But when you're having to describe where 18 or 19 different horses and jockeys are and one's making a move up through the pack as they're getting ready to come down the stretch, that's fun to hear.
Yeah, no, amazing. It's worth looking for NBC's replays and stuff of the race because Golden Tempo is looked. Not only was it one of the long shots, 20 something to one to win the thing, but also, I mean, it was midway through when it starts the kick, like it is at the back of the pack and works its way all the way to the front, and the two horses that finished 1-2, the jockeys are brothers.
Wow.
So that's the other thing is you had a photo finish involving,
really cool.
And I don't believe either of them had ever won the Kentucky Derby before. So it's
well,
two jockeys.
It was the first female trainer.
And the first time a woman trained a horse to the Kentucky Derby Championship as well. That's Sherry DeVoe is the name of the trainer. And then I wish I knew the name of the jockey, but yeah, the jockeys were wow. One of them was on, I think, Renegade, and the other one was yeah. on, and the other was on Golden Tempo, and they finished 1-2 in the Derby.
Man, that's amazing.
Photo finish.
We had put that
on the fridge.
We had
right?
just
the,
gotten
mom's house.
We had just gotten off MARTA and were there about to head into state. Let me tell you, it was wild going in. I told you about the delay on the way back. Atlanta United was playing
oh, wow.
at
oh, yeah.
the stadium mm-hmm. at the same time. So, I mean, MARTA was packed.
Oh, I bet.
And they had it. They also had it. They're doing a lot of work on the stations. Mm-hmm. What we usually do is we usually park at College Park and just right. go in and not have to worry about parking or anything. But, oh, there were a ton of people. And, yeah, my wife goes, Is there a soccer match? It's like, I think there may be. And as we got there, and I mean, it was like double standing room only on MARTA all the way in, and then just getting off and seeing the crowds all surge up. I'm thinking, this is going to be the biggest concert crowd I've ever seen. No, it's like, no, it was, there were obviously 70,000 plus for soccer.
It's remarkable.
For Springsteen.
I mean, that's part of the reason why Atlanta's going to get a couple of World Cup games. Is the crowds that they get for the United? I mean, mm-hmm. it is remarkable what they do when Mercedes-Benz gets rocking and yeah, it'll be just a little more than a month away from Messi and Argentina coming to town to
June
play
9th.
Iceland.
I know.
Yep.
And then the World Cup starting just a couple days after that.
Yep, it's gonna be a fun summer of soccer for those who love it like me.
that's going to be huge. It's going to be huge for the city of Auburn.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be
huge for the city of Auburn.
I just can't wait to see what it's like. You know, just get a feel for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a feeling. Yeah. There's going to be a serious crowd.
Yeah.
For Argentina and Iceland. Yep. All right. Let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, we'll go whatever direction you like. Come on in and join us. 334-321-1390 as we head into the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
And, of course, since it's Monday, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here with us as well as we head into the final half hour here on the Monday Drive. And let's get to the Drive hotline. Who's up first, Dan?
Yeah, Philly fanatic.
Hey, I think those brothers from Puerto Rico's last name was Ortiz, but I'm not sure about the first one. But anyway, if you'd follow that horse in the last two races, it came from the back. And so the trainer was thinking that the race took off really fast. And she was thinking all the time that those front runners were going to fade.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the horses that finished, those are the ones that were near the back, and they were able to – they saved it for the end. So I guess they did a nice job of that. Bill.
Yes.
How about in front of the signs in front of our subdivision gives water use reduction?
Right.
I just got my bill from the city saying that if I didn't bring it down, I was going to get fined.
Oh.
No more irrigation. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go around with a hose and just do my vegetables and fruits. That's it. So there's not going to be any grazing in the grass in my yard. And
no, I mean, I saw that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw that a week ago. I was really glad that it rained because I had gone and helped a younger son plant some flowers, and they had an azalea that that they didn't need, really wasn't room for. So I brought it and planted it at our house. So I'm glad it rained.
Yeah. So I'm going to be singing How I Wish It Would Rain, because I have so many azaleas that I planted within the last year, and
those are
the ones that have don't have a strong root.
That's exactly right. Shallow roots. Yep.
That's right. So how about the Braves? 25 out of the first 35. It goes back to the early 1900s since they had that winning streak.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. I mean, you talked about finishers, and that's what the Braves have been. Even in their that ridiculous run that they had of winning the division just about every year, they weren't great starters for the most part. I mean, I remember a couple of years where they got off to tremendous starts, winning like 11 of their first 12. But over the first month, they're generally just around a 500 team, if that.
Well, I'll just change the narrative and talk about the Phillies teams. We got tonight again, Phillies, Sixers, and Flyers. The Sixers finally beat the Celtics in a game 7. You know, since the 50s to the 60s, when the Celtics had those great teams.
Oh, yeah.
Russell,
Auerbach,
Cousy,
right.
Jones, mm-hmm. Auerbach, Hondo,
Havlicek. Oh, yeah.
It was every year they would beat the Sixers, even though the Sixers had Wilt Chamberlain and a number of really good
teams. Hal Greer. I mean, they had some great – you're right. They had some great teams, but it was tough when you're right there having to play the Celtics.
Yeah, and then the Celtics went to the Bird teams and then the Walton teams for a long time. I mean, they before the Lakers, they were the teams to beat.
Oh, yeah.
So my muse goes back to an 80s rocker, another British singer-songwriter who's headed into the Hall of Fame. We went over one last week. And this one, you know, from this guy made it on MTV, Millions, singing with his shirt off.
Billy Idol.
You know who that would be?
It's Billy Idol, right?
Yep. Yeah, Billy Idol and White Wedding and Rebel Yell. Those are two of the great – those songs are still getting a lot of spins.
Oh, those are two 80s
Wings
classics.
Those
There's no
two,
question about
those
that.
Those are two Wings 94.3 All-Stars.
Oh, you're not kidding about that.
They're running them big time.
So my
anyway,
wife could
we'll,
do the Billy Idol sneer.
We'll see how the Sixers have to go to New York to play the Knicks and take the old subway, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a tough hoe.
Now you got two division series in the East in the NBA playoffs, and I mean it's crazy to think, but yeah, someone with the Celtics out, like it's either going to be the Sixers or the Knicks or the Cavs or the Pistons in the NBA Finals. Like one of those four teams is going to be playing for the championship out of the East. We'll see. We'll see who it is, but those are four fan bases. I believe, like, I mean, the Cavs went to the finals with LeBron a decade ago. But other than that, it's four teams that have not been to the NBA Finals in a while.
They're franchises that have been around and pretty dang.
Oh, the Knicks
rabid fan bases too.
Yeah, I mean, think about the Knicks, the Pistons, and the Sixers. Yeah. Like those are three storied franchises. Mm-hmm. Been a long time since any of them have been in the NBA Finals. And you could very well have one of them making it this far.
Great stuff, Philly. 334-321-1390. Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Eyes Without a Face is my favorite Billy Idol song.
Another one. Eyes Without a Face, a good one.
Yeah, it's not exactly a rocker.
Cradle
like
of Love?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That was did you know that, speaking of the Cradle of Love, you know, they did that video and he was like in like a picture frame? That was supposedly right after he had that bad motorcycle accident.
Ooh.
Which also, because, you know, he makes a cameo in the movie The Doors with Val Kilmer. And he was supposed to have a bigger role, but that the motorcycle accident stopped that also. Because if there's a scene where they come into the bar and Billy is using a cane. And that was after that motorcycle accident he had. But anyway... about the race, the horse race, I believe the same jockey was on the horse that won the Friday race, which was the female horses, I believe. Also, I think he got the double.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
You can check me if you want to. I know you guys all got your computers there and everything. So.
I do, but mine's running slow for some reason, so it's like it'll take me a while.
Now, Bill, When you did play-by-play with the baseball team, did you ever travel with them on the road?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was bus back in the day. I mean, yeah. The bus rides to Baton Rouge with I did that some, and then some other times I got to ride along with Coach Nix and his cigars.
Oh, wow.
That was a blast.
Well, the reason I asked, I know they're playing UAB tomorrow. Are you guys going to get a chance to talk to Andy?
We should. Andy should be there set up, so that's usually not a problem. So, hopefully we'll have him on tomorrow.
Well, I was just curious because I watched both games on Saturday, both doubleheader games, and you know they only had like 45 minutes or an hour between the games, and you know I'm sure they're snacking the whole time.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when they first, and I remember Andy and Brad were talking about it. Again, we were on the way to Atlanta by the time that first game was turning into a rout.
Yeah.
And the first game ended, and there was more than 45 minutes in between those games. They waited until 5 o'clock to start that second game. They could have started that ball game. If they'd gone 45 minutes, they'd have started well before 5 o'clock because Auburn put that one away there in 7 with the run rule.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just curious that, you know, after a doubleheaded game like that on the road, you know, they got done, you know, after dark and all that stuff. I'm just curious if they went out and just, like, carb load on pizza and pasta and crashed. I'm just curious, you know, what kind of meal they had.
The team or the announcers?
The ballpark all day.
Yeah.
Do what?
The team or the announcers?
No, the team.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Andy.
You'd been sustaining yourself all day long with different ballpark snacks. It's a little bit different. No, usually it's a pretty hard. Now, it depends on if you got a game tomorrow. But which, like, I could tell you.
Which they would have had after that doubleheader.
I mean, I think the thinking is you don't want something that's going to be hard to you know, too hard on your system the next day.
Too heavy. Yeah.
Once the playing's finished for the weekend, that could be a pretty carb-heavy sort of situation. But, yeah, different trainers, different nutritionists have different ideas about sort of like the exact right kind of fuel there. But I would think, I would think that they're probably going, you know, something not too crazy. You know, like you could go pasta or something like that after a doubleheader like that for a team.
Well, if you guys get a chance, ask Andy because I'm sure Andy probably went and ate with him. I mean,
yeah, that's good question. We'll ask Andy tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hi, Mitch. Yeah, hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I mean after that was 16 innings, but after that and with a game at 1 o'clock on Sunday,
Keep in mind
Chase
too,
Chase Brelec caught all innings this weekend.
How about that?
Yeah, and he didn't homer on Sunday, so it stopped his streak in 5 straight games.
Man. They're college students too, so you're not going to go too crazy with the dining and the nutrition, right? You're probably going to stick to them.
I think you're gonna pay attention.
You're pay attention, but you're not gonna. But I'm saying, but like you're probably it's probably not gonna be stuff that's too exotic or too weird for a lot of. Like I think it's gonna be stuff that folks would and it's stuff you need to be able to go get in a college town too, right? Like you're ordering food, you know, at different places. So yeah, I think it's. I mean, they eat well, but
oh yes,
it's nothing that would blow people's minds.
There was a lot of difference. There was a lot of difference when I was traveling with baseball and traveling with women's basketball.
Yeah.
There was a lot of difference in Coach Nix. No, Joe. It had to be the
Joe knew
it was the Italian. You were going to stop at an Italian restaurant on the way in with Coach Nix. It was like whatever
barbecue
our per diem would cover. You know, it's like. Which back then wasn't a whole lot. It seemed like we'd get, I don't know, maybe $15 or something like that.
That wasn't bad back then, though.
No. That was like for the weekend.
That's a That's a Dobo thing too. That's you know at least with Troy. That's like the director of basketball operations. Like one of the things that she's doing a lot of traveling secretary stuff with hotels and with accommodations at the arena and with the meals and deciding, you know, where we're going to eat and what goes well with the, you know, and usually it's with women's basketball, it's like you find something that the team agrees on.
You knew about it way ahead of time. You would know about it.
Oh, sure.
You'd be talking about where you guys were going to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Y'all were going. For us back then, it was like, well, you had an idea with Joe. With baseball, it's like, there's no telling.
They like to order in advance too. That's the other reason why I'll know ahead of time is because you know we'll know on Thursday where we're going to go all weekend and try to place as many of those orders in advance because you don't want to call a restaurant and surprise them with
no.
Hey, we got 25 people who need food and surprise. we need an hour from now.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Were you shocked last time you bought groceries?
Brian, fun show. I mean, lots of there's not a ton of big breaking sports news. We bounced in a few different directions.
Well, it's a little different too because Auburn doesn't have the waiting to hear about the NBA draft situation you've had couple of years with Jahni and with Tahad, you know, where guys were testing the waters.
You're not worrying about the transfer portal after spring football.
Hey, Brian, what do you think of the decision to get rid of the spring portal? Because I know there's been a lot of there have been debates about whether or not it's the best thing for players, and some I'm sure there are some fan bases, Texas Tech, where they'd love to be able to go love to be able to go into the portal and go get a player. Texas Tech probably needs to. I think I threw this out there. They need to go hire somebody's head coach, right? And then
so that their quarterback would be.
And then the quarterback can go in the portal once Texas Tech hires their head coach.
I wouldn't put it past them. All the money can do a lot of things. I am for it. Right?
Check Alex Golish's phone this weekend. Just like.
I think it's better for the calendar. I think these coaches are already overworked, you know, with the calendar they have now. But I'm not sure it's going to hold up in court, you know, for too long. It's going to be challenged at some point, no matter what rules the NCAA.
I really like this spring not having a portal window.
I do too.
Like, I think the idea, and it seems like Alex Golish appreciated.
Yes, that, he definitely does.
Yes,
that you can go through spring practice without knowing, hey, any one of these kids or all of them can tell you, hey, I want this, or I'm going in the portal in May. Or like it's got to be a brutal way to build a team. And you know, the thought that you want to tell a guy, hey, you mean a lot to our team this season, but you tell him that and he might realize, well, that you know, show me the money.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's show crazy. My bank account.
You
how
brought
much,
these guys
how much
in,
I mean to you.
You built your team, and then, you know, just a few months before you're supposed to start, you know, preseason practice, boom, players are
going you go through place. Your you go through everything in spring, and you think, all right, here's what we've got, and then guys walk.
Right. So, I personally, I'm all for it. I just don't know how long it's going to hold up, but for now, I think it is.
Well, the thing is, and we've talked about this a little, Brian. I mean, as long as all the schools are okay with it, then it'll hold up. I mean, as long as the membership that voted for this, you know, doesn't start trying to push against it. And like you said, Texas Tech would probably like to. I don't know that they're going to try to challenge the rule. It's just, this is one of those tough situations where you really need to know what you're getting when you're counting so heavily on some of these players that are coming in the portal.
And that's kind of the irony of everything that's gone on in NCAA and schools is, It is the presidents and schools that make these rules, and then it's the same schools that fight against them and sue to have them changed, and it's a cycle that they keep going through. So, you know,
but this one does make sense. It's like it gives an opportunity for there to actually be able to take a breath and get ready for that next year. Look, everybody on that roster is going to have a chance to go into the portal at the end of the season.
It does make sense, but I do think at some point a player is going to say, hey, I went through spring. I'm not where I thought I'd be. I want to go somewhere else.
My coaches weren't honest with
me. And I'm going to challenge this in court. And that's going to be hard for them to defend because they're not employees. They don't have any sort of collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, we're talking about free movement and labor. It's just hard to beat those laws that have been a part of this system for hundreds of years.
Well, I've always sort of wondered about, how the portal windows would hold up to legal challenges, but they've held up so far. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that it's like, you know, there's got to be a system as to when guys can transfer and when they can't, because otherwise, like, can guys say in July?
If you didn't have a window, guys could, depending on when classes started or classes ended or when you could drop classes midterm, would be able to do something like
there
that.
There have been a few of those outside of the portal moves due to court cases, right? But they've been very, very few, and I don't think they've been publicized that much, so people are just sort of, you know.
Well, it hasn't been superstars either. I mean, that's the thing. It would need to be, for something like that to happen, it would need to, and to really be noticed, it'd need to be a significant player.
Great stuff from Ferg, great stuff from
well,
from
Ferg gets great
no,
stuff.
No, I just got a text from Ferg about the podcast. Great stuff from Brian today. Tell everybody how they're where they can find the work you do.
I appreciate that. Check us out, auburnsports.com. We have plenty of coverage, baseball, recruiting, portaling, you know, as Auburn tries to finish out the basketball roster. All that and more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on Twitter, /X at BMATAU.
Great stuff. Thanks again, Brian.
Thank you.
We should have Andy Burcham on with us tomorrow, and we will try to remember Mitch to ask him about the team's meal plans after that doubleheader this past Saturday. as Auburn gets ready to take on UAB tomorrow night, and then getting ready for Mississippi State and Starkville starting Thursday. Yep. But fun show here on this Monday. We're back with you tomorrow. Till then, have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.